Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players podcast. This is our show for the races on Saturday, February 27th. I am your host, Peter Thomas Fornital. If you're watching us on YouTube, which we encourage you to do, if that's something that you engage in, you can see that I am in the Brooklyn bunker once again and very happy to be joined by the usual co-host of this program. He is about to, if I get this correct, fly on a private jet to Gulfstream Park, but currently he's still on the planet Texas. He's the people's champion, Jonathan Kitchen. What's up, my man?
Yeah, last week I was starving, cold, dirty, and wondering where my next meal was going to come from.
Literally.
And this week I'm hopping on a private plane with a friend to go to Gulfstream for Fountain of Youth Day. So how tides can turn.
Unbelievable. I'm glad that you're heading to Florida, but you're actually not here to talk about that. You haven't not all studied up yet on Florida. We've got a very special guest.
I will tell you the first race on Saturday, though. Okay, past the champagne. Yeah, drawn to the outside. Black type thoroughbreds. Randy Hill went in and bought this first time starter. The horse ran for Rusty Arnold, had some trouble, watched the race back, and they bought the horse, switched to George Weaver. The horse has been with George for about 8 days. So there, if you're expecting an improvement, that improvement might come for the next start. But just off of handicapping, she's supposed to win this race based off of her trip, the way she was bet that day, the way she ran. So really excited to go down and watch her run. And that's the reason for the trip.
Very cool. And there's a little bonus pick. But I also wouldn't be surprised just off the previous trainer's training if you're going to see a little bit of an improvement. Maybe not like, you know, leaps and bounds, but I mean, I feel like Rusty Arnold trainees, typically they follow that stair step pattern very often in the first few starts.
She was 3-1 on debut.
For wow. Which that shows talent, speed and talent. Hopefully we're going to see it on Saturday. And yeah, I don't know. Are you're not on Fox on Saturday. So if you do have any thoughts on these races, you're just going to have to do it on, well, I guess there's two things. You can do it on the old Twitter machine, or we could record something real quick for Plus. You tell me.
Something tells me that based on a first post at 11:30, I should probably stay far, far away from Twitter. Twitter and early post times don't mix well with old JK.
That's fair enough. That's absolutely fair enough. Speaking of Plus, we are going to have two shows this weekend covering the good stuff at Oaklawn Park. We're going to have Clay Sanders and Marshall Graham joining us, one for each of Saturday and Sunday. More information about that, go to inthemoneypodcast.com/plus. But you're in a hurry. We're here today to talk about these races at Santa Anita and Golden Gate from our friends and partners over at the Strana Group. We'll start off. We'll do it the way we've been doing it the last few weeks. We'll do all the Santa stuff, and then we'll hop up north on a virtual plane and talk about the two Golden Gate races. But it all kicks off with Santa Anita race number 5, post time 5:45 Eastern. We're at 6 furlongs on the dirt, 3-year-old fillies, claimers 20 down to 18. JK, kick us off. What do you like in here?
Yeah, I thought it's kind of an outside-in thing. I thought Ruthie's Racer was really interesting, mostly because she's taken money in her career. She was running against starter optionals. Now she's in for a tag. She's got some outside speed. She didn't run great last time, but I'm going to forgive her. Maybe the distance was a problem. Maybe the cutback helps. There's a lot of reasons. If you look down, you don't love her, but there's a lot of different reasons that she ends up being the de facto choice for me in here. Time form doesn't think the pace is going to be particularly quick. She should be in a good stalking position to the outside. And like I said, I've started to pay a little bit more attention to, I've always been a speed figure guy, but I've started to pay a little bit more attention to where and whom was that figure earned with, you know, like against. And so I just feel like the drop is going to help her. That's going to make the difference. So, you know, I want to use her as an A. And then I thought the 3 and the 4 were worthy as B types. The 4 getting back to the dirt, and then the 3 as well getting back to the dirt. Those those turf performances, I think, kind of cloudy their form to a certain extent.
You covered my numbers. I wasn't sure who the best speed was going to end up being. I did note and agree with time form that doesn't look like there's a ton of it, but I figured if you use the 4 Mucha Woman and the 5 Ruthie's Racer, you'll definitely have that one covered. Mucha comes out best on the early time form figures, getting back to the preferred surface. And Ruthie also has been, you mentioned the inside-outside thing, been down on some rails that maybe weren't the best places to be. Gets that nice outside draw now. I was just going to try to lock it up 4 or 5, but on your say-so, I might throw in the 3 as well in this one. Shall we move on to race number 6?
We shall.
Let's do it. We are now going off at 6:20 Eastern for this race. We're on the turf at 1 1/8. 3-year-old Maiden 80 down to 75. There were 2 I definitely wanted to use in here. Number 9, Got Curly. I thought might be able to boss them from the top. Significant drop here into Maiden Claiming Company. And then number 6, Mahamel, I thought was also obvious. Ran all right with a little bit of a trip, first time in North America. And this is probably more the right level. I was going to try it 9-6. What did you think, JK?
Yeah, I'm not against the 9. I wasn't going to use. I don't like wide drawn stretch outs. I feel like on the turf, you're going to lose ground. You're not going to get cover, more importantly. And when you're trying to convince a sprinter type to settle down, I think cover would help. And so being in the clear, no cover and losing ground is usually kind of a negative for me. The other thing is, and Mario Gutierrez isn't necessarily known for his prowess on the grass. He's no Frankie Dettori. And the other thing is, I felt like Got Curly was going to take some money because this one's a half to Got Stormy, which is obviously a talented runner. So we'll have to see what happens. I was kind of leaning more towards some horses drawn in the middle of the field. I thought the 5 Willie the Cobbler was interesting. This horse kind of had 2 trips, was wide 2 races back, and had some significant trouble in the last race. And so I was hoping that this one will run better. Maiden 80 is not a race that shows up very often. So I think it's going to play like a sexy Maiden 50, right? Like it's the Maiden special weight horses. I don't think they're making a monstrous drop. And I don't think it's a problem for the 50s up to the 80. I think it just kind of all works out and just take it for what it is. So I thought the 5 was interesting off the trips. The 3 Mount Pelier, this horse was wide last time. Hopefully can get a better trip from the inside. And then the 6, Mahamel, is another one who I thought was interesting. Jeff Mullins got this one to run well on debut, sprinting now, stretches out. But I'm hoping that one will be able to work out a better trip from the 6. It's just a lot less horses to try to negotiate and to get over. And from the 6, you can still get cover. So the 6 would be more of a B for me. I thought the 5 and the 3, the 3 and the 5 were the A horses. But in this, for the sake of of harmony and a group ticket, I wouldn't be opposed to throwing your 9 in as an A and see if old Frankie Dettori can get the job done from the outside.
We'll see how it shakes out. Moving on to race number 7 at 6:52 Eastern. We're on the dirt going 6. 3-year-old Maiden 30s this time around. And we'll keep it with you, JK. Who do you want to use in here?
Yeah, I thought the 6 Hander's Dream was the type of horse you could maybe A press. This is a horse that took some money on debut for Jeff Bondi first out and then switches to Peter Miller's barn. So you're looking at that improvement there. I think getting bet first out for Jeff Bondi is a sign as well. The horse obviously has some talent. The horse obviously has some talent because Peter Miller reached into claim for 30. So there was something that he saw that he liked, the tote board liked. So I feel like there's some kind of ability here. This horse is getting Lasix for the first time. And I just felt like there was going to be an improvement and this horse could win at this level. So I thought the 6 was a nice little lean. And plus the horse has some tactical speed. The 9 towards the outside, Diva's Finale. One thing that it's hard to do, and it's not the easiest adventure, but sometimes when you're looking at some of these first-time starters, you can look to see what their siblings have done, not so much in their careers, but what kind of horse they were. How did they run first out? And a horse, Artistic Diva, who's a half to this one, was extremely fast, had fast early pace figures. So I felt like there might be a little bit of pedigree there to suggest that this one could run. And I said half, actually it was a full. So the 9 Diva's Finale, I think, is interesting. And then the 4 Big Discount, is another one who I thought took some money on debut and one that you might want to consider. The other thing you might want to do is rewind that video right in the middle of that spiel and tell me if you can see where I feared for my life when my girlfriend snuck in and was just standing there looking at me for a second. And
I didn't notice. I was watching you the whole time.
Dude, I thought it was over. I thought I was going to, I didn't think I was going to break my maiden on the private flight. I thought it was over.
Amazing. I don't have much to add, man. I thought the six-hander's dream was going to be an easy winner. You made the case about the trip first down and the switch of the connections. This one's just going to take a whole lot of beating. Though I thought you made a really interesting case, particularly on the nine. What's your gut on this one? Are you going to try to mix the nine and the four in your horizontals, or are they more exacta partners with the six?
Well, here's the thing is on this show, we don't have the luxury of having the answer to the quiz, right? The answer lie within the workout reports. And I'm a big fan of Andy Harrington's workout report out there in California. So we'll see. We'll know what Diva's finale is all about. If she's got C-plus workouts, she's a B horse. If she's got A-minus workouts, she's a single A type of horse. You know, you can press her up, do things like that. A lot of it will depend on how she's working.
You see a lot of A-minus workouts in maiden 30s?
Not very often. If you do, call the bank.
Get 30 together.
Get the 30 together. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good stuff. Let's move on to race number 8, 7:26 p.m., a mile on the turf. This is a stakes race. We've got three-year-olds in the Pasadena. I like my old friend Red Flag in this spot. Number 3 has that nice win from Del Mar, bred to turf on both sides, one I definitely need to use, but I wasn't willing to stand alone. I thought number 2, Kathkin Peak, was obvious, undefeated, and those races have produced pretty good form and looked pretty good both to the eye and on the clock. I think you have to use. And then also number 5, Rock Your World, I thought looks like the proverbial could be any kind type off the nice looking maiden score and no workout report, but just looking at the tab appears to be working well for the return. I thought you could lock it up 3-2-5. Do you agree, JK?
The 2 is actually one of my best bets and that I like this weekend. Kathkin Peak. This is a horse that, you know, if you look at the time form US, there is a red pace line in there suggesting that the pace should be quick in here. This horse is going to, I mean, Flavian Pratt, one thing that he does that I absolutely love in these turf races, when he's drawn to the inside, he stays down there. He saves ground. And it just the nature of that California turf racing, the quicken is so important because it's a fast surface. And he saves ground and he gets out of there and he makes those runs. And I felt like this horse was going to trip out in here, especially because there's some pace in the race.
So you're just all about the 2. Any backups for you?
No, I mean, I was going to use the 4 and the 5 as backups. I thought that Commander Kai was interesting, has a little bit of speed, has run well. He ran well on the Eddie Logan. I missed the Eddie Logan. And then the 5, Rock Your World, is another one who I thought stretching out is interesting. And Umberto Rispoli in a small field of 6 horses could get over, try to save some ground. And the pedigree on this horse suggests that longer isn't going to be a problem. So I wanted to single A the 2 and then use the 4 and the 5 as Bs.
That's interesting that you don't have the 3 anywhere. What do you have against Red Flag?
First start as a 3-year-old, and so it's for Sheriffs, and Sheriffs isn't the crank them up, get them out of the gate, rocking and rolling type. First off a layoff, he's 17%, which is actually pretty sneaky. I think Zenyatta probably helped that quite a bit, but. No, there wasn't anything terribly wrong. I thought that the figure was a little bit slow when they were sprinting on debut. No, it makes sense. I really was into the 2 quite a bit in the turf form of the 2.
I can't disagree with the 2 being a more likely winner. Potentially, I was hoping Red Flag might offer a hint of value for the reasons, but we're very much on the same page in that race in the big picture of life. Let's move on to Santa Anita's 9th race. 7:57 Eastern is the scheduled post time. We're on the dirt going 6, 4 and up, 16 down to 12, 5. Non-winners of 2 lifetime. This is the race that closes out this pick 5 at Santa Anita on Saturday. JK, how are we going to get paid?
Yeah, I mean, I like the 3 quite a bit in here. And look, I've done this before. I've played pick 4, pick 5 sequences where I've used a single A in every leg. and then gone all the way through to your 2B situation. You just need a couple of them to win and you're in a good spot. So, you know, don't be opposed to a sequence like that. But I thought the three Malachi Moxie was a horse you could lean on. This horse is fast. And if this horse runs the last race, they're all running for second. So I thought Malachi Moxie was interesting, but you know, obviously is coming in off a little bit of a short layoff. So that could be a problem. This horse is 0-6 off a layoff. So you have to see what happens there. The 2-3 Arch Bay Mafia is another one who I think will appreciate the cutback. Ran last time going 6.5. And I felt like the way the pace figures lined up in that race, the cutback to 6 will actually help. And then the 10 towards the outside, this was more of a horse I saw underneath. Definitely a B type, just that outside in the clear, probably not fast enough, but with the right setup is a type of horse that runs down the middle of the track and beats you. And you say, oh, I could have used that horse. And then just because, his brother was so good, we'll give Fort McHenry a call being a half to California Chrome. But, I'd say he's a little bit less than a half of what California Chrome was.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. That's the number one if folks want to follow and put that one in. Should we list Fort McHenry among your official picks, or did you just want to mention because of the breeding angle?
He's one of my official picks to not win.
I put 3 Arch Bay Mafia on top in here. Timeform, I thought it was interesting. The Timeform US has among the leaders on the pace figures, but I feel like just looking at running lines, this is a stalker closer who's going to benefit and hopefully get the right kind of stalk and pounce trip with Rispoli in the irons. I definitely get your top pick, the 3 Malachi Moxie. I was just a little bit worried about, you know, with the Bug Rider, maybe just trying to go to the top. And on pace figures, there's plenty of others who have similar speed, but one that I'd obviously like to back up with. Another I just wanted to mention who I thought would be a big number, probably more for underneath, but a penny on top. I thought number 7, Bird, was a little interesting as a deep closer who should get a good setup. And I like the fact that second time off the long layoff. So I was looking at it 2 and then 3-7. JK likes the 3 a whole lot and wanted to back up with the 2-10 and will be losing if Fort McHenry gets the job done. Let's move up north real quick, JK, because I know you have a literal plane to catch. Golden Gate Fields Race 8. This is the back end of the... No, excuse me. This is the second leg of the Golden Hour Pick 4. We encourage folks to take a look at these bets. I've been looking at them and what they pay relative to the parlay. A lot of good opportunities out there with the Golden Hour Double and the Golden Hour Pick 4. Really nice get-out plays after a long day of racing. Player-friendly terms in terms of the higher minimums and the low takeouts. And this race goes at 7:41. We're on the all-weather going 6. 3-year-old starter allowance runners. I like number 2, Bourbon, with a twist. I felt like this one ran faster at every stage last time and would get a good trip stalking the speed of the 1. Speaking of the 1, another one I wouldn't mind having on side here. That's Cashlings, includable as the likely best speed. I thought it was interesting the Timeform US on their pedigree ratings, which I use from time to time, rates this one best as a synthetic sprinter. The barn has rock solid numbers off the claim on this circuit. And they actually come back strong in terms of ROI too, off the claim on this circuit with a takeout neutral $1.74 in your $2. Anyway, 2-1 for me. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to add too much more about those two. I had both of those I was going to use because I'm pretty aggressive in the next leg. I want to use the 4 and the 5 as well, Copper Halo and Float On. The 4, I thought this horse kind of had a little bit of trouble last time, still ran a nice little figure. Type of horse in a spread race I want to definitely use. And then the 5, Float On, was another one who I thought ran well off a layoff and should be tighter second time out. And I like when there's a horse that I'm leaning on who's drawn towards the outside, then I definitely use. I feel like that trip wins quite often at Golden Gate.
How would you grade your 1, 2, 4, 5 into A's and B's?
Yeah, I mean, because I was so aggressive in downstate in Santa Anita, I was going to just use 4 A's here. 1, 2, 4, and 5 is A's. And then I'm going to come back in the 9th with a single A and a couple of Bs.
Well, we'll get to that right away. This one goes at 8:12 Eastern, Golden Gate, race number 9, 6 on the all-weather, 4 and up, maiden special weights this time. And the question we often ask ourselves when it comes to Golden Gate races, JK, who does Jonathan Wong have in the race? Does that question lead us to your single A?
It doesn't actually. Right outside of him, I like the eight, the little H man. This is a horse that, from a speed figure standpoint, seems to have a little bit of an edge versus these. I like the outside draw. I like the style. Ran well last time. So I was going to single A, the little H man, and then I was going to use the four and the nine as B's, the four Cowboy Kisses. This is a horse that I thought ran well on debut, has some tactical speed, should be able to get out of into a nice position from there. You know, on a dirt race, I love when my horses go to the front. For whatever reason, Impala never seems like they stick around there. So we'll see how Cowboy Kisses handles it, but does have some ability based on the first race. And then the nine, Rock This Bar, is another one who has some nice early speed, should be able to get into a nice stalking position. For whatever reason, if the closers don't come, it feels like Rock This Bar will be in the clear, sitting outside of the four Cowboy Kisses.
So you're eight as an A, 4-9 as B's. I agree with you. There were two that I really wanted. One was your eight, Little H-Man. But I actually did make the Wong Runner my top pick. That's number 10, Galloping Uno. I just felt like that was a troubled debut race where this one was bet. I did a little digging to try to see what happens when Wong takes one from a maiden claimer and puts them into the maiden special weight level. It's inconclusive, only three runners, but at least one of them won. I just thought this horse had a chance to do better for the new barn. 10-8 for me. JK's 8 with 4-9. For more from both of us on this weekend's racing, JK mentioned it before, check out the expert picks over at twinspires.com. JK covering the California circuit. You can get my thoughts on Aqueduct. More on Aqueduct over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com, too, from Nick Tamaro. A closing thought before we let you catch this plane and make sure you're not in trouble with your girlfriend.
Yeah, you tell this next guest on the show, this idiot Anthony, you tell him that I'll be down there in Florida and he knows where to find me.
Oh my goodness gracious, we got some beef. I had no idea. I wouldn't have booked him if I knew you were pissed at him.
Oh, I was talking to him this morning. He's already got his little jokes planned. He's going to say about me. He's like, "Oh, I already know. I'm going to say this about you." Okay, guy.
Well, that's going right up. So stay tuned, folks. JK, have an awesome weekend down there, and don't get into too much trouble, all right?
Pass the champagne.
Hey, listeners, I want to tell you about some friends of ours been helping us out a little bit, and I think they can help you too. Are you sick of spending thousands of dollars on Google ads? Learn how to generate a flood of new customers without paying Google a dime. Digital Real Estate Coaching is a coaching program that teaches you how to generate new customers online without paying for marketing or advertising every month. To learn more, go to digitalrealestatecoaching.com. That website, once again, digitalrealestatecoaching.com. Next up on the show, this is a man who's appeared on the network. He did an excellent version of our Stronic 5 podcast with JK a while back, but I haven't had him on, and I've been remiss in not doing so because he is a man I've known for several years from the contest scene, fine handicapper in his own right, interesting guy to talk sports with always, and we share a crazy Australian in our phones. I'm talking about the man, the myth, the legend, Anthony Matera. ATM, how are you today?
What's going on, man? It's nice to be on with you. It should be smoother. JK, he's a pain in my ass. So he didn't even tell me where I was going on video today. So I had to throw a hat on real quick. I didn't even shower, nothing. Like, oh yeah, man, just hop in and do a couple races with Pete. Yeah, here we are. I'm on the screen, but no, it's good to be on here. And that crazy Australian, man, he's something too. Oh, dear.
Listeners know him. Listeners know him. This is the famed Hurricane Anthony. He's been on the airwaves a couple of times, and he's been a little quiet lately, but I sense it's probably just the calm before the storm.
That's true. I mean, he owes me $400. It's kind of like Bronx Tale. I'll pay him $400. I won't hear from him for a year. It's worth every penny.
No, I figured you were a 1-9 to come on here and bust JK's shoes. I didn't know we were going to get a little bit of Hurricane Anthony bashing as well. But
I think JK's retiring from the horses. He's such a great sports player. Why even bother with this? This is a challenge. He's just such a wizard when it comes to sports. Like, I'll wake up to a text, hit it for another 20 dimes, blah, blah, blah.
Another nine-team chalk parlay? Is that
Yeah, of course. Well, that we could skip the races, too, when you just take JK's picks for the nine stakes. We'll just take the morning line favorite and we'll be done. And I mean, I'm sure he could hit a couple doubles and the listeners will win. We'll save ourselves an hour.
Oh my goodness. Great stuff. Well, we're very grateful you're here. How has your own play been going? You're a man who's been known to fire.
I've been firing away. I got snapped for 200K in that FloCal tournament. So that,
right, I forgot about that. That our buddy Benny was one of the beneficiaries of, and he admitted freely. He came on here and he was nice about it. He expressed sympathy to you and admitted that he only played the horse because of the number it was on the board. But he stopped short of offering to give you any of the money back, though.
That's true. I mean, it was like leading wire to wire and then jumping the rail and going right into the lake. It was basically, I'm winning the whole way for 200K. And I tell my wife right before it's happening, I said, the only time I thought I was going to win was going into the last race. It was the only time I thought, you know what, I might win this frigging thing. And then there you go. Just Umberto, at how that horse went off at that price, I'll never know.
There was a case to be made after the fact, that is for sure. But
I think that's one of my newer angles too, just looking at the horses that look like they might be privately sold. I mean, I know that's probably a different show or something like that, but if you could find out who's buying a horse, or they see something, horses coming from, I think, Charlestown, and now all of a sudden is running for Sadler at Santa Anita. So you could put two and two together. The horse made sense. I just didn't, I mean, I was obviously hand tied to the favorite, who Joel Rosario, do not run into me at the bar. I swear to God. Because that ride on that horse was so bad.
Oh my goodness.
When he was much the best and galloped out by 30. But hey, you live and you learn. And it was a hell of a weekend, but
you didn't.
I'm just getting over it.
We may have to break out the world's smallest violin here when we tell people how much you actually still walked away with that you're crying about. You still cashed pretty nice, didn't you?
My wife wants an expensive house. $55,000 ain't gonna do it down here in SoFlo. $200,000, we're home free, buddy. This is the big leagues now.
I love your way of looking at the world. So you are down. So you've moved from New Jersey recently to South Florida. Seems like the weather is treating you well. Is that a little sunburn I see on your face?
Yes, I golf every day.
Jerk.
JK got me to do this today, so. It cost me 18 holes and probably a little more solid burn on my tan, but we're getting there. We got our Adios jersey today too at Gulfstream, so I'll be heading down there later this afternoon. She's 2 for 2. Might be decent.
Is that race 9? Is that race 9 tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's funny. I almost bother you this week for the Stronach 5 podcast, but they ended up using the 8th race instead of the 9th race. So we sort of did little musical chairs guests on the pod. But yeah, folks, can, if you're listening to this right away, check out the Stronach 5 show, and hopefully we'll have some success down there as well. And then we can root you in the 9th. How is the ownership life treating you, and any others you have that we should be paying attention to?
Will Double R let me speak on this? I don't know. But no, it's going great. I mean, like I said, Rich Averill, a good friend of mine, maybe a little misunderstood out there in the world, but hey, he's a good person, and he set me to things that I never met him 3 years ago. And people spend their whole lives trying to win horse races, and I jump into a partnership to where we've won. I can't even count anymore how many races we've won.
That's awesome.
Georgina does a great job down there. She catches a lot of unnecessary heat, but hey, that's the game we're in nowadays, that God forbid you win. And it's not like we're winning stakes races every week. We're just trying to survive and pay the bills. And it's been a blast. I get excited. I literally refresh the overnights when our horse might be in. I don't even know if the horse is in or not. And I'll be refreshing the overnights at 4 o'clock just to see if we're in. And then, I'll be down there today. Double R said I can't wear my Tiger Woods shirt in the winner's circle. I figured hopefully the winner's circle, but I wore it last time at work. But we'll wear something fresh for him, that's for sure.
Double R, aka Rich Averill, Averill Racing. You race under his banner, and then also under your own banner, ATM Racing.
I'm a loyal guy. I'm sticking with my man Double R. I joke with him, and it's got the RA. So I say that's Rich and Anthony Racing now, buddy. So he'll get a little pissy when we're like introduced to a stranger, and I'll be like, oh yeah, just tell him. What's that RA stand for? It's like, oh, it's Rich and Anthony. Like, duh. He's some sort of clown. Of course. the guy's only been doing it since 2007. And it's funny. I was in the Borgata poker room, and it's probably like 2 years ago. And usually nobody really knows. And I'm wearing the backwards Rich Averill hat or RA Racing. And the guy's like, what's that? I said, oh, it's my racing stand. Isn't that Rich Averill? I said, no, it's Rich and Anthony. Only a degenerate in the Borgata poker room would figure that out.
That is fantastic. I love your headphones, by the way. Those watching on YouTube can see my daughter is going to have serious headphone envy when she sees the Mickey Mouse headphones. Is that something? Do they give you those when you become a Florida resident or what?
The limited edition Adriana headphones. She, you spend $300 on headphones, she never uses them, so you might as well. But no, they're kind of sweet.
It's very fresh. It's very fresh. All right, let's dive into these races, my man. You did an extra one than me, so we'll actually be talking about 9 races. I looked at the 8 graded stakes. We'll get your quick thoughts on that listed stake as well. Let's just go in order. We'll kick it off with race number 3. Starts early. Race 3 is 12:26 Eastern. I should be covering this stuff. I believe I'm on Sky Sports this weekend as well for the international listeners. This is the grade 3 Here Comes the Bride Stakes on the turf, going a mile and a 16th for 3-year-old fillies. And Anthony, as our guest, we'll let you kick this one off. Who do you think is going to win?
I think Toby's Heart's going to win. The layoff's a little concerning, but that's the top pick. I got the 4 could be a bomb if the pace is hot and heavy, but I think the 6 could sit a good ride, a good trip. Maybe the 4 comes off it, but if the 6 runs to its form, start today with an easy 7-2 winner.
I think we'll be very lucky for 7-2. I was going to say you're knocking.
Well, I'm just starting off here, but we'll just say 7-2. And when he wins at 6-5, like, nothing I can do. Computer betters got us again.
She looks a serious runner. I love the race in the Bolton Landing. That race, that was so impressive because it was closing into a slow pace. And now that race has produced something like 4 winners. And she shaped like More Ground Would Only Be Her Friend. I don't have a clocker report or anything, but just looking at the tab, appears to be working well. I thought it was as easy as the 6, too. ATM throws in the 4 as one to use as an exacta partner or potential backup. Let's move on to race number 4. We've got the grade 2 McDermida Stakes on the turf, going a mile and 3/8, 4 and up, 200,000 in the pot. I think I'm going to give my old friend Admission Office another go in here, number 8. I think he'll appreciate the added ground and could be set to run a big one in the 3rd start off the layoff. I like the fact that he's got his stablemate, the 6, Phantom Currency, as a de facto rabbit, which might mess with some of the makers. I respect the makers. Of the 3, I probably prefer number 1, Temple, who I felt like improved at the distance. And the stablemate who beat him last time is going to have to contend with that 6 on the front end this time. So I like it 8. I'll back up with all the makers, especially the 1. How do you see it, my friend?
I have a little angle here.
Good.
If whatever Julian Leparue rides, get off. So there's I am not a jockey player. And I'm sure Julian Leparue is a great guy. But I'm not his biggest fan, and if I could go from Leparue to Paco, and Leparue won with you, then you're going to improve. So I actually took the 6, Phantom Currency. I mean, the 8, I'm just a toss Leparue guy. I mean, there's a horse later in the day I think would win for fun with anybody else, but it is what it is. I mean, I like the 6. I have the 3 as well. I think the 3 and the 6 could just go around. It'd be a little merry-go-round race. But I see what you're saying with the 1 and the 8. But if they could steal it up front, maybe the 6 at the better price can, with Paco, be a little
more
aggressive.
You're probably right. It's probably wrong of me to mention a horse multiple times during my spiel and then not include even as a B. And sometimes those team tactics That's how it's. I say de facto rabbit, and that's probably the right term because it's really just smart team tactics. You have one who's going to run in the front end, and you got one who's going to come from off it, and whoever gets the better trip based on the race setup has a chance. So you've absolutely talked me into putting the six in as a backup. And your point about Leperu to Paco, I mean, boy, you just couldn't get any different in terms of styles. Put aside your personal feelings about Leperu. I mean, it's just obviously much more of a hold-up rider. Paco, you know, the old line we always say on the show, stolen from Jerry Bailey, is that Paco Lopez would rather be on the lead than be president. So, you know, it's a great point. So you've absolutely talked me into that. Any others to mention in this one before we move it along?
I mean, I would just say about Leperu on the eight, I just find him, he's actually a good long on the turf speed rider. Like, yes. if he was on the six, I think I would like him. I would still like him because he could get on the lead. He settles in. It's more when he gets in a tight spot, he's going to be coming from off it with this eight horse. I mean, I could just see the trouble trip coming. I mean, I wish I could. If there's any side wagers that I could bet that I could get a trouble trip will be coming for admissions office here.
That's funny.
But yeah, I think that the three and the six is going to be my two here. But
That is a good point about Leperu and how good he can be on the front end. He really does remind me. And this is, you know, you're too young probably. A lot of the viewers and listeners are too young, and the ones who are my age and older will be nodding their heads. Sort of like Pat Day reincarnated as a rider. Do you remember him in his heyday at all? You'd have had to be
Pat
young.
Day. Pat Day was the only jockey that wouldn't give me his goggles at Atlantic City Racetrack when they had the Caesars International Handicap. So Pat Day, another one.
Oh my God.
If I see at the bar, you know, Joel Rosario, he's on a different level. But Pat Day, he was just a mean guy. But I do remember
that might have been before he found God. These days, you're not going to see Pat Day anywhere near the bar. So Pat Day is safe.
Okay. He's safe, but, I got plenty of pairs of goggles and none of them are from Pat Day.
That's so funny. But that idea though, of a guy who's like, they want to be a hold up rider 80% of the time, but then when they get one where they have no choice to be on the lead, they do such a good job of slowing it down, rationing out the speed and still keeping that finish. All right, that's enough about that. Let's move on to race number eight. Let's go back to race number six, the race that you looked at that I did not look at because I told you look at the stakes, not the graded stakes. Post fail, I'll admit it. Who are we going to play in? Tell us what race six is if you have it in front of us and tell us who's going to win.
It's the Palm Beach Stakes. It's a mile and a 16th on turf for three-year-olds.
He's going to put me out of
job. I have a maker angle with the no Lasix for these horses now is a big issue, and Maker keeps his horses so fit. So, I mean, if you're going a mile and a 16th, I love the Jess's Dreams. I mean, I just think that sire's going to pop eventually. So I would just take a look at the eight in there. I like the six as well with Pletcher and Johnny V. Just a small little exacta play, so like $500 exacta box or something like that.
Just a little one, just a tiny little one. Dip that toe into the water and see what happens. Jess's Dream, of course, the sire by Curlin out of Rachel Alexandra, who we told the story on the show that day. It might have been Jess's Dream lone win on the track, beat us out of the pick six. Might have been 25 lengths back at the pace call, and I'm not exaggerating. And somehow came and won and stuffed us in a locker back in the day. But is interesting as a sire. And I mean, you can't argue with those bloodlines. All right, let's talk about race number eight, 253 Eastern, the grade three Canadian turf stakes going a mile and a 16th. A couple I wanted to mention in here. Number seven, Monarch's Glen. I thought was a little bit interesting. First off, the claim for Safi in this stake spot, but fits on the numbers. I thought it was a tough trip last time. The race two back was really strong, and I think might just get a setup with plenty of pace to set up a potential late run. I also like the nine Winters Back. Just looked like an obvious one to improve. Second time off the layoff after a wide trip. Switch back to Carmouche, the wind rider. I like to see that as well. Seven and nine for me, ATM. Who do you like?
I had a 1-2-9, and the two, I was saving my JK special, closing into a slow pace. I mean, you already used it a little bit, but I had a fine one in the day that this horse could. If this horse gets the trip, I think Olympic Runner's the winner. The one, the three, the nine could show a little speed. They That's why I use the 1 and a 9 little angle I use once in a while. If you think it's going to be a super fast pace, and then the 1 and the 9 don't go super fast, at least you have them. And then if you have a key horse, like I think the 2 is the best from coming off of it. I like the 7 a little bit. If I were doing like a pick 5 ABC type thing, I would probably use the 7 as a B horse. But my top 2 picks would be the 2 and the 9, and then B horses would be the 1 and the 7.
I like it. Good stuff there. Let's talk about race number 9, 327 Eastern. The Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Mile Stakes. 1 mile on the dirt for 4 and up. I'm curious. I'm very curious what you see in here, because this is one where I'm confident with my pick, but it also could potentially be made fun of. We'll see if you agree with me or not. I'll throw it to you to kick this one off.
I just think Tax will just go, and the way they – the biases of the tracks, we could talk all day about it, but I just see Tax just going out like he was supposed to in the Pegasus, not try to be what he isn't. When he goes to the lead, he could just keep going, shorten up to the mile. I just think if I was a sucker and I was playing the pick 6, I would probably single Tax, but there is no carryover, I don't think, so I don't think I'll be playing the pick 6 tomorrow. But
not a real carryover anyway.
That's exactly right. So no pick 6 for me, but I do like Tax in here quite a bit. That I just think loose on the lead, and
I get
maybe
it.
The 7 tries to go, but I think the 2 is just faster. And
I get it. And what held me back were 2 things. One is, he gets performer gets over bet, which is why I was hesitant to endorse him enthusiastically. And the last race was not visually impressive. But looking back at it again, I feel like maybe some of why it looked so grindy had to do with that he was just a little bit against the flow there. And I do think that the presence of Tax alone should help make this pace at least honest and maybe set this horse up to show his good race. You know, this is a horse that was bet to odds on in a Grade 1 recently. I think he's probably supposed to be no worse than 2nd to Tax here. Tax, my scare, he thought on, and this gets back to a point you made about the 6th race, is this a horse who might just need Lasix? Or you really think it was the tactics and goofing around last time?
Yeah, I mean, I just think Nix Go obviously is a little better horse than Tax. So, I mean, he's just not fast enough to go with Nix Go. I mean, that's just, we all thought he would go. I mean, I think today he's just going to send them, and we'll see. I mean, the Lasix could be an issue, but I'll spare you the story on the Fat Man, but that one still stings to this day.
is there any race that we can talk about today where you don't have a sob story about either a jockey or a trainer or a horse, or are we pretty much covered 9 for 9?
Well, if you have the lifetime PPs on Fat Man, when he was in for 30 at Fairgrounds on January 2nd, Rick Broth, who is a friend of the pod, I'm sure.
Love Rick.
We call Neil Pessin and we say, hey, we want to claim Fat Man today at Fairgrounds. Can you put it in for us? Goes, looks at, nah, he's no good. What are we, $600,000 later? Thanks, Neil. Keep it up, buddy. Can't wait to see you at Keeneland, brother.
Fantastic. I hope you're getting drinks for life off of that one. But yeah, I mean, I think if you use the 2 and the 4, you have this one. I feel like you have it locked up.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think the best thing for the 4 is, let's just, if the 7 scratches tomorrow, I would bet the 2 to win. But I think the 7 could put all the heat on Tax and set it up for the 4 in an easy situation. And obviously, I don't think you'll get 2 to 1 on performer.
No, he's always bet, like I said, yeah, which is what gave me that hesitancy. But in my picks, I'm gonna be all about him, and we'll see what happens with fixed odds opportunities for the international listeners. Maybe early you can get something before the crowd steams him into a little less than he should be, which does seem to happen every time. All right, race number 11 is the Grade 3 Honey Fox Stakes, 1 mile on the turf, 4 and up, fillies and mares. This one, I can't be creative. I really think it looks like a match between the 6 Zophel and the 2 Got Stormy. I'm going to give a little bit of preference to Zophel. So good last time off the long layoff. Now, this isn't a horse who I think is going to improve leaps and bounds second off the layoff, in that if you look at her PPs and you look at Brandon Walsh as a trainer, they typically come back to the races pretty close to fully formed. But it's not like she has to move up off that race in some big way to win this. I just think she makes a ton of sense. Got Stormy back going long. Not an easy trip in the turf sprint. But, you know, I feel like any replication of her good races is going to put her in the top two in this spot. And I don't see anybody else getting the win here. 6-2 for me. Are you a little bit more creative?
I'm a little creative. I'm 2-6 as well. And I have a thought on the four. I mean, I think Bill Mott's been pretty hot. I think he's got the Barry Bonds syndrome. You know, you watch everybody else use these vitamins and all of a sudden, you know what? I'm a Hall of Famer. I was a Hall of Famer before all these vitamins. Let me go out there and give my horse their vitamins. And all of a sudden he's winning at a nice clip again. So obviously it's just hay, oats, and water, but let's just, I'm going to give a look to the four.
The barn is going very well. Is there any, is it a pure trainer play or do you have anything on form here?
No, I mean, listen, you're the European guy. Just you're running on in a grade three in York. I favor European turf horses over America. I mean, if this was at Keeneland or Belmont or something like that, I would obviously even might even make the four my top pick. Gulfstream doesn't quite play like a true turf course, so it probably fits Got Stormy, who could run on anything, obviously. But I'm just giving a look to the four. I mean, I'm with you where it's 2-6, but just a peek on the four.
Yeah.
Pretty solid workout on February 13th there, so I'll give him a peek. And
she makes sense. I mean, the Euro form definitely should translate. I tend to agree with you, though, that a lot of times, and we'll get to this with a Chad Brown runner in a race coming up, when they're bringing them back here, they're not necessarily firing their A race at Gulfstream the way that if they were coming off a break right to Keeneland, I would expect them to. And you might be right. Maybe it has something to do with the Keeneland, with the Keeneland surface as opposed to the Gulfstream surface as much as it does to have to do with any trainer intent. But Richetta is certainly one I feel like will be flying late and you could use underneath and maybe she gets more than that. Let's move on to race number 12. It is a 5:04 scheduled post time for the Grade 2 Devona Dale. We've got Kentucky Oaks Implications here going 1 mile on the dirt for three-year-old fillies. Let you kick this one off, ATM. Is this going to go to the big favorite VQuist, or could we see something a little more interesting?
I mean, with three-year-olds and just even being an owner helps, and obviously everybody knows this, these horses are still developing. So if you're a three-year-old, you can make scores by beating favorites like VQuist, and later on when we get to the Fountain of Youth, the Greatest Honor, you could get cute and beat them because you have horses that are going to come from nowhere. Like last year with Victor Martinez's horse, these things can just all of a sudden pop because their horses are still developing. They're getting bigger, faster, stronger every day. That being said, VQuist does have the best numbers in the race by far. If I got cute with it, I would use the 5 and the 6. I'll let you pronounce the 5, and then I'll go crazy beautiful with the 6. I'll probably do a pick 5 ticket where race 10 looks impossible. So I'd probably go deep in that race or maybe even all, and then go 2-6 and then single VQuist and another tough race in the 13th and then get pretty shallow in Fountain Youth. But it looks as simple as the 3, but you don't know what's about to pop, what's going to be something that's going to jump on the Oak scene and take off. So 3, and then I'll try to get cute and use the 5 and the 6. And if you could talk me into something, I'd greatly appreciate it.
You landed on the interesting number that I think, and that is the 5 Milfoy. I think it's Milfoy. I'm pretty sure it's Milfoy. Here's my thing with VQuist. I have a contrarian opinion reading around and looking around about what a lot of people thought the track was doing on Breeders' Cup Friday. I thought the rail was good, and I thought she sat a perfect trip and was maybe benefited from the fact that she cruised around on the inside there. So I wonder if VQuist is a little flattered, and I wonder if just that phenomenon of the big name horse, 2-year-old filly champion coming back, I mean, looking at international prices right now, I mean, she's long odds on. And I don't know if there's that much between her and Milfoy, who at current international price of 4-1, I think is pretty interesting. Last seen second to Malathot in the Demoiselle, who's the current co-favorite for the Oaks, along with Vequist. And that was a weird race, that a really weird race, the Demoiselle. It didn't look pretty. It wasn't particularly fast. But I think Milfoy is the one I want out of it, because I feel like she was closer than she'd been in the past, going farther than she'd ever gone, and maybe moving a little early. And then you throw in the fact that she now comes here off several months break for a barn in Belmont. They typically improve, as you pointed out. They're going great gangbusters at the moment. I think she's the right one, especially if there's, now I don't know, Tote, this could be everybody's wise guy horse and be more like a 3-1 than a 4-1 or a 5-2 or something. And, you know, obviously she gets less interesting as the price goes down, but for those, especially who can lock in 4-1, I think it's an interesting way to go, and I'm not going to cut off my nose despite my face. I'll have plenty of 3-5 exacta as place bets on Milfoy as well. Any further thoughts on this one before we move it along?
Just on a betting standpoint, I mean, even if you're going to get 4-3-1 on the five, if you beat Vequist in a pick four, pick five system or sequence, it's going to pay like a
more than that
8-1. Yeah. Right. So if you could beat the three and you, all you think you need is 3-5, you get that five home, you're going to increase your ticket tenfold there. So
not a bad way to go.
Right.
Let's talk about race number 13, 5:36, the scheduled post time for the grade three, the very one stakes, going 1 3/16 on the turf for 4 and up fillies. Here's that man again, ATM. Belmont sends out number 3, Antoinette. I thought had a real good chance to be the best of speed. I really like this distance for her. I like a Mott runner that has the natural speed that she has. And just another one who, given the hands she's in, given how well the barn is going, could be ready to do well off the freshening. And this could be a very nice situation pace-wise. I feel like we should offer a word at least about the 10 California Queen. Looks to have a pretty nice work tab going. No clocker report here. Just looking at the tab. Okay, bit German form. But I did run the numbers on Chad Brown. Small sample, but trainer changes in graded stakes at Gulfstream Park. I put it in that, I put the query in that way to try to catch the first time North America runners. 0-8. 4 of them ran in the money. So, I mean, maybe a little unlucky, but I don't know. Anytime I can find a compelling reason to bet against Chad Brown, I tend to try to go with that. I wouldn't mind the 10 as a backup, but I ain't keen and I ain't putting on top. It's number 3, Antoinette, for me. What do you think?
I think that's the 6. I don't want to be...
I say the wrong number?
Yeah. The California Queen is the 6, right, I think?
Let me double check that. I'm sure I just got it wrong. I was doing this in my car, dealing with all the side of the street parking. Yes, number 6, California Queen. Thank you.
Right. I'm with you on Antoinette. I think I'll look at the 2 and the 4 as well. I have 2, 3, 4. Grand Motion with the 4 shows up on big days like this. The 2 and the 3, I think, could get loose again and have another merry-go-round race. And I think the 2 might be a little faster. So
I agree on pace figures. Perfect. And sharper. You know, ran just 35 days ago.
And the turf course, obviously, we know could be a speedway. So if you get on the lead, you might not be able to pass. So I'm 2, 3, 4. I didn't like the 6. I mean, I could see what you're saying. I mean, Chad, you never want to get beat by Chad, who's going to be 6-1 in this spot. And all of a sudden you look at your ticket, I just got beat by Chad Brown and he paid $14 or something like that. And you're like, what the hell just happened? So I'll give him a look. I think this race is pretty tough. I don't think it's as easy as just singling the 2 or the 3. I'll probably go pretty deep when I get more involved in the pick 5 tomorrow and maybe catch a bigger price.
Any you know you'll want to as backups? Any prices to throw in at this stage, at least on the B-line?
I'd probably throw in the 7 as a backup, but same thing with Cox with the 11. Like, do I really want to watch Cox win at 20-1? Like, this is the type of race where it's going to be pretty tough. I'll have some tickets where I'm just 2, 3, 4, and then I'll have some alls here. I mean, there's just maybe catch the Gulfstream bomb that always comes.
All right, let's talk about race number 14. We're anchoring the day here with the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth Stakes. 6:10 is the scheduled post time. We're on the dirt going a mile and a 16th for these three-year-olds. And we'll ask you the question that means more than all the others, ATM. How are we going to get paid?
Just go to the man bun, a little home field advantage for the guy. So we'll go with the man bun and Safi. Edgard's cooled off a little bit, but I think drain the clock, wire to wire. The two worries me a little bit. I don't love the eight. I mean, obviously the eight can win. I'm not going to. I feel like, and Tarantino too. I actually don't mind. I thought it ran a pretty big race against Greatest Honor last time, but I'm gonna stick to my guns here. I'm gonna take the one and eight late. I don't like the four. Maybe sprinkle in Tarantino with the seven, who I thought ran huge in last time out.
I think it's interesting. I worry that Drain the Clock is going to face a lot more pressure from Prime Factor, who they rated unsuccessfully last time. I mean, the horse couldn't have got a better rating trip and just emptied out all over the stretch. The fact that they come back here, integrated stakes with this horse that Todd Pletcher had previously said they were looking for a first level allowance for, I feel like he's not here except if they're like, hey, what happens if we just gun and maybe we can move up? And I think that could cook. I think that could cook the one.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's my fear, and that's what led me to Shug and Greatest Honor, the eight, who I just feel like has, you know, he's got the Orbiest look, as we've talked about before. That McGahee runner took a while for the penny to drop, and then just got to Florida and exploded. And Greatest Honor in his, I mean, I guess it depends on where you decide this form cycle started. I guess it started on the 26th. And it was the third race for Orb that was like yet another step up. And I don't disagree with you that Tarantino ran huge, but I mean, that was still meant getting beat five lengths by this thing, who the way I'm designing the race in my head is going to get a good setup. And I love the fact that Greatest Honor the last day on the sectionals ran faster to every piece of the, in every phase of the race. So I was going to keep it simple and try Greatest Honor. This is another one where the fixed odds people get in now at 13-8 because I could see this horse. I could see everybody seeing it my way, and this horse is 4-5. And at that point, you know, you throw up your hands. But at odds against, I think Greatest Honor is pretty interesting in this year's Fountain of Youth. Any other thoughts on this race, Anthony, or this card in general?
No, I mean, I would just be cautious of the 3-year-olds developing. Don't fall like. Sure, Vequist, Greatest Honor, don't fall in love with them. Use some coverage because something can pop. Yeah. I mean, whether it could be Tarantino, who just figured something out and all of a sudden could explode, and then Greatest Honor could bounce. I mean, that's definitely could happen. And I mean, figure-wise, Greatest Honor is the horse to beat. There's no doubt about it. Like I said, these horses can improve and will improve. I mean, you could have something in here that just explodes and is your Derby favorite. So
it's true. You mentioned before you referred to King Guillermo, you know, in that Florida Derby last year, given out by our buddy Double R on the podcast at 50-1.
Yeah, given out when you could say, oh, like the 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's good. When I see you next time and I give you a horse, I'm going to give you one horse. I ain't giving it 7-8 horses and then walk around like King Candy that I gave out I gave you a 50-1. You can pull up the tape. It wasn't exactly like, oh, let's single the King Guillermo here.
Oh my God. That's so funny. No, you're right. It wasn't a single, but it was a nice push. It was a nice
push. It was a nice underneath horse that
got me on the horse.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know he had a big day, so the money don't lie, but let's not go out and crown him.
making friends left and right, this ATM. When you want money, you go to the ATM, and it's been a pleasure having him here with us on today's show. And we'll have to have you back on soon. I may have to give you a little bit of a lesson about the legal definition of slander, but we'll cover that often. We'll cover that.
Yeah, we'll get there. It's horse racing. Everybody knows, right? I think everybody knows.
Cheers, my friend. It's very good. Very good to speak with you. And that's going to do it for this edition of the show. I will take one more opportunity to thank ATM and to thank JK for their contributions. We'll thank our longtime partners, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. If you ever do hit big on King Guillermo or whomever on the show, we encourage folks to donate to them and the great work they do, not just with horses, but humans through the Second Chances Program, trfinc.org/players, the link for them. Also, shout out to our friends at 10 Strike Racing. We're hearing from them over the weekend. We got these two Oaklawn shows coming up in themoneypodcast.com/plus for that. Most of all, I want to thank all of you, the listeners, for making these shows so much fun to do. I should say listeners and viewers, to because, you know, you can watch us on YouTube as well. Shout out to producer Craig Gorbunoff, DJ Unstable himself, for pushing all the right buttons. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Coatney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos!